Talk little Edmonton Oilers, Ryan Schauger from TSN. Join us, Schauger. How are you?
Fantastic, buddy. How are you today?
Good. We were posed a question.
Yeah.
So the Edmonton Oilers, whatever happens, they take somebody at number three, arguably a defenseman, Ekblad. Okay. Then at number five, Draisaitl's still on the board and the Islanders have the pick. Would you trade Yakupov for that pick and the right to take Leon Draisaitl?
Oh, boy, that's an interesting question. Yakupov for the five, hey? Boy, you'd really have to think about that. Do you think that there's a chance the Islanders would do that?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess if you're the Islanders and you got Draisaitl sitting there and you know everything about Yakupov that everybody else knows about Yakupov, I don't know. Maybe they just go ahead and make that pick themselves. So I don't know if that'll be an issue or not.
No,
I don't think the promise of Yakupov would be enough necessarily. I don't know that he'll be there at five either.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
Interesting. If both Draisaitl and Ekblad are available at three, who would you take?
Well, listen, nobody is projecting Draisaitl as potentially the number one pick in this draft.
No,
nobody. Nobody's saying it. Nobody said it. Lots and lots and lots of people are saying that Ekblad is. So to me, it's not even a competition. You take Ekblad if he's there. He's the better player, the higher rated prospect. You take the defenseman. To me, it's a no-brainer that they would take Ekblad or that they should take Ekblad. Nobody's talking about Draisaitl like the best player in this draft.
Okay. I still probably would buck the trend and I'd go with the center.
You would, hey?
Yeah. Especially a big skilled center. I've watched Draisaitl play. I've talked to a lot of guys around him. I'm a big fan of his. I'm a big fan of how he plays the game. And I think his potential to get better is a lot higher than others, having only played 2 years in North America and being able to improve. I believe that it'll take some time. And even if I took him, I'd send him back to junior for one more year. I think that'd be huge for him. But because he needs to learn how to speed up his game when he has the puck because he likes to slow it down. And it's a lot easier to learn to do that maybe at a lower level. So I'm a big fan of his. And now, that being said, I know that I don't think he's a guy who comes in and has an instant impact in the NHL. I think it takes him a few years.
Yeah. But don't you think, though, that Ekblad has the potential to be that cornerstone defenseman that every team absolutely has to have heading into the playoffs, where you look at that guy and say, that guy's going to play 26 minutes a night against the best players in the league. And that without that guy, can you ever win? And I don't know that the Oilers have that guy or have that guy coming. I don't know if Darnell Nurse will turn into that or not. But with Ekblad, you're almost certainly getting that guy, aren't you?
Well, you say so, right? I look at Ekblad's game. I think he's going to be steady but not spectacular as an NHL defenseman, which is not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not sure he's that guy, and who knows? But that's just my own opinion right now. And I look at the Edmonton Oilers and I look at their blue line and I look at the history of defensemen historically in the NHL, and there's so many of the great defensemen that aren't taken in the top five. History has shown that year after year. There's a few guys, obviously Niedermeyer and Pronger, but there's so many others that weren't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, the shot that Ekblad has, the guy is going to score some goals, right? I mean, he's going to work a power play and he's going to score some goals. He's got a bomb from the point. And, I mean, I'll take you back to Shea Weber in his junior career. I mean, Shea Weber never had more than 12 goals. That was his high end for goal scoring in major junior. Well, Aaron Ekblad had 23 this year in 58 games. This guy can shoot the puck, and this guy can score goals. That shot's not going anywhere. So, I don't know. It could go the other way with him, and maybe there's a little more offense there than some people thought.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I don't see the Edmonton Oilers, though. The one thing I'm pretty confident, I don't see them trading down from number three.
No, I don't think so. Unless both those guys are gone, unless somehow Draisaitl and Ekblad are both gone by the time the pick gets to them, then I think they probably end up either looking to trade back and put something into their lineup right away, or maybe trade the pick entirely, or maybe they take the Bennett kid, right? That would be my guess.
Trading down, usually, I went through the history of it. Usually you lose that. When you're trading down, you lose that in a lot of cases. So I just, you know, because history shows on average, there's, you know, as you go down lower, you're not getting as much, especially when, you know, because everybody's talking about, well, the Oilers need a second round and they need a third round. No, they need a first rounder that's a really good player.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know what, trading down to get, oh, a guy who's okay, and we get another chance at a 15% chance of that kid panning out. No, thanks.
If the Oilers trade out of the top four, they need to put something in their lineup right now. They can't trade out of the top four for 17 and 28 or 17 and 32 or 17 and... They can't do that. They need to add something to their lineup now, or they need to pick in the top four. It's got to be one or the other, because they need to get better sooner rather than later. And to water down out of what everybody is proclaiming to be the top four players in this draft, to take yourself out of that mix and then end up not adding anything to your lineup, I think would be a big mistake. I don't think he's going to do that, though. I mean, McTavish said he'd be surprised if he was able to get a second-round pick. I don't know how hard he's going to try, because the going rate for a second-round pick is an NHL player a lot of times at the draft. So I don't think that's going to happen.
No chance.
It doesn't bother me. I mean, yes, it would be nice for them to have an opportunity to pick in the second round and take a chance and see what they can do. But, I mean, they've had quite a few draft picks over the last few years. They've got guys that were drafted in the second round in the system who are coming. And yes, it would be nice for them to have those picks, but they need to add to their roster now, and they need to get a good player at three. That's absolutely the priority.
Looking at Ryan Rashad from TSN joins us. You look at all the talk, you know, the Hartnell trade. It's interesting. A few executives have come out today that said they didn't know he was on the market. That was pretty much a straight across even trade for salary cap. The only difference is Hartnell has 2 years extra rather than RJ Umberger. What do you make of that trade? Because Philadelphia, there's another kind of guy who was popular in their locker room that they got rid of. They got rid of two of those guys a few years ago in Carter and Richards, and that didn't help them.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I mean, Hartnell's a better player as far as I'm concerned. He's got different dynamics to his game, different elements to his game. You know, but he is 32 years old, and he's not getting any faster. And the goal totals have come down. So he's got a lot. What does he have, 5 years on his deal?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot for a guy that plays the way he does. You got to think that it's going to be diminishing returns where he's concerned in a big way. Whereas Umberger, you're getting 80% of the player, but you've got 2 years less to worry about on the contract. So to me, it's a preemptive strike by Philadelphia. Who knows? I don't know if anything was going wrong or not there with Hartnell, but they bring in a guy that will score roughly the same number of goals as if Hartnell had kind of an off year and get out of the contract a couple of years earlier. So, and Columbus makes themselves better immediately, but they sign on long-term with this guy.
Ron Hainsey was scheduled to be an unrestricted free agent. He bypassed that today, signed a 3-year deal for $2.8 million per season for a guy who's a top-four defenseman. Like, that's a great signing, great value signing for Carolina. And now people always say, well, you can't compare UFAs to RFAs. But in the case of Hainsey, who didn't get a big ticket, if you're the Edmonton Oilers, like, what number do you have in your head for Jeff Petrie and Justin Schultz?
Well, yeah, good question. I guess it just depends on the number. I mean, bridge deals here. It's so hard because if you're going to bridge them, then the negotiating power that they have changes significantly. And so it's not going to be nearly as high, but you obviously run the risk of having to go, you know, to pay them a lot more when the bridge deal is up, if they prove that they deserve the big money. So,
you'd rather pay a guy more. What if he doesn't pan out? I think a bridge deal is always a safer deal.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think the bridge deal is a safer deal, especially, I mean, I wouldn't be giving Justin Schultz a great big long-term deal right now if I were the Oilers. I would be trying to bridge him, and I think that's probably what they are trying to do. They got negotiations going on with three different defensemen right now. In between, you know, they're juggling all those balls, and on top of that, I'm sure they'll start talking to some free agents here when that gets going. So, I mean, they're trying to get Nikitin done, they're trying to get Petrie done, and they're trying to get Justin Schultz done. That's a handful of stuff to try and get done right now. And so Scott Housen's got to be a pretty busy guy as is Craig McTavish. As for the number for Schultz, I don't know. It just depends on the number of years that they give him, and probably between, I don't know, 2 3/4 and 4, somewhere in there. I know that's kind of a big range, but just depends on the number of years. And on a long-term deal, he's going to be looking for 5, probably in a quarter, 5.5 plus, I would guess.
For Justin Schultz?
That's what they'll be looking for.
No chance. They're dreaming. I don't think Justin Schultz gets any more than what PK Subban got on his second deal. No chance.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is if they want to sign him to a long-term contract.
Yeah. Well, I don't.
If they want to do that 6-year, 7-year deal, whatever.
That makes absolutely no sense for the Edmonton Oilers. Sign him for a 2-year deal because, hey, he ain't winning the Norris Trophy in the next 2 years. I can confidently say that. So you're not going to have to pay him anything. He's not PK Subban. He doesn't bring the physical element. He doesn't shoot the puck like Subban. Like, he's a good defenseman, but he's not close. Like, Edmonton Oilers, like, I look at Schultz and I look at Jeff Petrie, and combined next season, those two guys' salaries should be around combined between 5 to 5.5. I don't see any reason why it should be any higher than that.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they'll be able to get that done or not. But, I mean, look, Justin Falk just did a deal at $4.8 million a season, right? He did a, 2-4, 6-year deal, I think, at $4.8. And I believe the Oilers feel their players better in Schultz, and that he would come in probably ahead of that on a long-term deal. So I think that a long-term deal would be $5 million-plus for Justin Schultz. Absolutely it would be.
Yeah. Well,
and that's why I think they'll probably have to bridge him and do 3, 3.5, somewhere in there.
I don't even think it gets $3 million. PK Subban got 2.85. I don't see any.
They held his feet to the fire big time, for sure.
I don't see any reason why the Edmonton owners. Justin Schultz, what's he going to do? Go to arbitration after the season he had last year? What numbers is he going to put up? So to me, I think I actually think the owners are in a good situation for both of them. And when I look at other teams, I don't buy in for a second the player might get upset and have his feelings hurt. Boo freaking who? If you can't handle being paid $2.5 million after your third year in the NHL, well, guess what? That's not a guy I want on my team.
Yeah. I mean, Schultz signed close to what the rookie max is anyway.
Yeah, he already got a great deal.
So he already got a really good deal in his first contract. Now, he played reasonably well, but he doesn't have anything to complain about. But all I'm saying is, and don't compare what Justin Schultz's number would be to what PK Subban has been making, because had PK Subban signed a long-term deal instead of a bridge, his number would have been in that range or higher as well. So it's kind of comparing apples to oranges. But I think that if you're Schultz's camp, that's what you're looking for in signing a long-term deal is $5 million plus, probably closer to 5.25.
And Shogar, anybody ever bit you when you played sports?
Bit me? No. Just wrestling with the brothers, I'd say. Probably happened here or there.
So you were the biter or the bitee?
No, I've never bitten anybody.
Okay,
who bites?
Well, I don't know.
Really,
I'd like to ask your brothers to get some confirmation on that. Something tells me, and you know, you as a younger brother, you might go for whatever you needed to do.
No, I was a fair fighter. My older brother was the one who fought dirty always. So he was tough too. So he was like scrappy and strong, and he'd fight dirty. And I hated wrestling with him because it would never go well.
Did he ever pin you down with his knees on your arms, lean over top of you, and then pretend to spit on you and then bring it back in?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I wouldn't say he was never able to pin me down to do that, I would say. I'd feel comfortable saying that on the air, that I don't think he ever pinned me down that way. We were always pretty similar in size, so it didn't quite go like that. But I, too, was a big brother, and I never did that because I wasn't able to do that. Had I been able to do that, I would have. Yeah. I didn't have that kind of control.
I appreciate your honesty. It's very true. Very true. All right, Shogar, I will talk to you on Friday.
Okay, buddy. Take care.